preach the cross, preach redemption to a lost and dying world. Lift your voice unashamed of the gospel of his name.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much for that wonderful song. What a tremendous message in song. He is the master of the wind. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We'll just read the first seven verses of this particular psalm. I do not normally tell you this, but I have really struggled this week, these last few days, as to what I should preach today in light of what is occurring in our nation. And I will say that I will have some things to say on the political side of the issue, and I believe that it is incumbent upon me, as we are seeing the demise of our constitutional republic, it's incumbent upon me to say something about what's going on, and for me to just to ignore it is not helpful. Because it's what's on your minds, it's what's on your hearts, and we need to look at what God has to say when we go through difficult times. And so I warn you, this is going to be maybe more political than what I have ever preached, but I trust the Lord will use it. Psalm 37 and verse 1, listen to what David says. He says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass." All of you would agree, most of you would agree with me, that America is not the same. America is not the same America that most of us have known. She has been sick for many decades now, but her days of carrying the torch of freedom and liberty are seemingly over. And they are over because of our sin and rebellion against God. We are no longer a culture then who experiences God's blessings. I believe we are a nation that is under the wrath of Almighty God. And it's not always been this way, as you know. Our founding fathers held the Bible and churches and pastors in high esteem. During the early years of our country, the gospel absolutely flourished. missionaries were sent out from America to nations abroad, and America was truly a light to the world. God has blessed us. God has given us the light of the gospel that most nations have never known. Sadly, that light, for the most part, has been vehemently rejected in rebellion against God. And today we live as if there is no God. Today we live as if there is no God, and every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Because we have rejected the light of the gospel, is there little wonder then that we are seeing the collapse of our nation before our very eyes? Friend, listen to me. As Galatians 6 teaches, God is not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. America has abandoned God, and the God who blessed our forefathers. And because of this, because we have abandoned God, and because of our rebellion, we are seeing this judgment of God fall upon our nation. Therefore, we are not at all what we once were. Just think about how much it has changed in the last 20 years. And what's amazing is that all the followers of wickedness are rejoicing, and they are celebrating, assuring each other that this is a most wonderful state of affairs that we're dealing with right now. And we're going downhill so fast, it is hard for us to even comprehend. And we ask ourselves, where is the resistance to this godly ideology that is being forced upon us? Is there any resistance whatsoever? It does seem clear that evildoers are able to carry out their schemes now in America without virtually no resistance whatsoever. Now, why is that? Well, there are several reasons for this. This is because the evildoers own the news reporting. They own the media. Most of the media that the average American sees is a slanted, biased media. It is a spin upon their own narrative of what they want you to know. The citizens then can only learn their side of the story. Another reason why there's no resistance or very little resistance in this falling away from a constitutional republic is that our own entire education system is made up of those who have a secular worldview. And so from K-4 through postgraduate work, they are able then to indoctrinate a whole generation of people who know nothing of truth. They know nothing of the true history of America. They know nothing of the founding fathers. All they know of them is the evil that they've done. This is why there's very little resistance. And this is why we're going downhill so fast. Malcolm Muggeridge predicted in a speech that he gave in 1985, titled "The True Crisis of Our Time." He said this: "So the final conclusion would surely be that whereas other civilizations have been brought down by attacks of barbarians from without, Ours had the unique distinction of training its own destroyers. How? At its own educational institutions. And then providing them with facilities for propagating their destructive ideology far and wide. All three at the public expense of the taxpayer. We are absolutely training and have trained up those who are going to be our destroyer. You see, what we're seeing today is something that is very eerily reminiscent of Nazi Germany in the 1930s. Have you ever heard of the Reichstag building fire that took place in 1933? The Reichstag building was the home of the German parliament. And about 4 weeks after Hitler was made chancellor of Germany, 4 weeks later, the German parliament building, the Reichstag building, caught on fire and it was destroyed. And when Hitler learned of the fire, this is what he said: "This is a communist outrage." Blamed it on the communists. That's odd, isn't it? I mean, Hitler was the real communist, but he's blaming the fire upon the communists. Hitler declared then that this was a sign from God to stamp out all those who would resist. And from that, the Constitution of Germany was then suspended. And there was a declaration that went out that said this: "It is therefore permissible to restrict the rights of personal freedom, the freedom of opinion, the freedom of the press, restrict the rights to the freedom to organize and to assemble, the freedom of the privacy of postal and telephone communications." All of this stemmed from one fire that Hitler used to quickly put in place his Nazi regime, calling the fire a communist act, where the real communist dictator then could take over. Friend, listen, do you see the parallels of what took place on Wednesday at Capitol Hill? And let me say, what happened there was absolutely horrendous. It was stupid. Totally uncalled for. There was no good that came out of that whatsoever. But it is being used now as a pretext for unprecedented crackdown on our civil liberties. I mean, just look at the aftermath. Just look at the response from the liberals after that. The response is now, we must impeach the president. And we must impeach the law makers, those who voted to object to the Electoral College votes. We must also impeach them because they are inciting riots. They quickly put all the blame on the conservative for inciting riots. Representative Cortez, or AOC as she is known, said, "To my GOP colleagues, know that this president incited an insurrection against and incited his mob to find harm and possibly kill not just Democrats, but you too. Baseless. So what happens? You have folks like Michelle Obama, who cries out to the social media, big tech, and says, you ought to ban the president from social media. And Facebook and Twitter both remove President Trump's accounts. Virtually, he has no way of communication to us. One Democrat said this, getting rid of Trump was the easy part. His followers won't be so easy. But you see, they're using us, calling us the problem. What started with Trump didn't end with Trump. Conservatives are being censored on Facebook. Twitter is forcibly removing followers from those conservatives. So everybody now many people now are flocking over to Parler, which is known as a free speech based social media. I mean, for years, the last few years, there's been a increasingly censoring on and suppressing on Facebook and Twitter against conservatives. And so there has been this slowly but surely moving toward the other social media app called Parler, where there's more free speech. But what happened? Now, Apple says to Parler, hey, because you're not meeting our community standards on free speech, we are deleting you from our app. And now Amazon, I believe it's Amazon who owns their servers. Amazon now is threatening, the last I heard, is threatening to delete Parler from their servers, thus deleting their account because of Parler not meeting to their community standards. So all those who were so happy that President Trump was banned from Facebook and Twitter. Listen, I thought they were just going to censor him. But it didn't stop with him. It has continued with us. And what is happening with Facebook and Twitter and Google and Apple and so on? They are acting together. Listen, these are companies that collectively control the information of 3 billion people. Companies without which modern life is impossible. And here big tech has announced they have laid out all their cards. They have announced that they are in control of the United States political system. These companies have a stranglehold on every small business. Hey, listen, if Amazon can delete Parler from their servers, effectively removing their website completely from the internet, they can easily do the same thing to other businesses that do not live up to their community standards. Will it stop with those who just are conservative? Will it stop with those who just voted for Trump? No. It'll continue to escalate. Free speech is being absolutely eroded before our eyes. And you need to realize that approved speech is not free speech whatsoever. Oh, they say, oh, you're free to speak. Well, you can't speak about those things. Approved speech is not free speech. And again, the Capitol Hill riot is being used as a pretext for a crackdown on our civil liberties. After they remove all communication that Trump has to the American people, what happens? And remember, President Trump gave a video calling for peace. Hey, everybody go home. What do? They take it down. Twitter's reasoning for taking it down was because Trump used the term American patriots. And they deemed that American patriots could be twisted as, oh, he could be calling on a mob. So now we're living in a day where now patriots is a bad word. Is the football team New England Patriots going to have to change their name now? It wouldn't surprise me a bit. But here Trump is giving out a video and saying things, hey, go home. There's no sense in this. Well, they take it down, but President-elect Joe Biden makes a video. And in his words, does he bring the country together? No, he further divides our country. And he says that if these were BLM protesters, the outcome would have been very different. And you know it, he said. What is he doing? Well, he's throwing gas on the fire. That's what he's doing. He's throwing gas on the fire. He's saying that had black folks done this, it would have gone a lot worse on them. I guess he forgot that there was an unarmed woman killed. I wonder how many Americans know her name. Had that been a black woman unarmed, you would have knew her name. And there would have been riots in D.C. like you've never seen before. And all over this country. And so for him to say that adds fuel to the fire. And I guess he also forgot that there, about all the riots that have taken place for the last 8 months, costing $2 billion in damages. Where has he spoke out against that? Where has all the Democrats been and liberals speaking out about all the BLM riots? Oh, those are justified. He says he's seeking unity. He's not seeking unity. He's seeking uniformity. There's a difference. He's asking all of us to come together. I'm not coming together. Whenever anyone asks, we need to get together, you always need to ask, what are we getting together around? I'm not getting together with his godless agenda. Oh, no, he's not seeking unity. He's seeking uniformity. But it's in the midst of this very sad ending of our nation that we stand by and we watch our country succumbing to the cancer of socialism. Against that backdrop, it is easy and almost expected that we will fret. And we ask, how does this happen? Why doesn't God do something? Why do the wicked prosper? Those are the kinds of questions that David asked. And God was very gracious to David and answered his questions by reminding him that he, the creator and sustainer of all things, that God is in control for his own glory. And so regardless of the unraveling and dismantling of what we think was a wonderful society, it's wonderful to know that God is still God. He is our God. He is our Father. He loves us. And he will bring glory to himself even through the foolishness of wicked people. That's what we have to rely on. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, notice the first thing, and that is this: evil doers do evil. Evil doers do evil. Really, beloved, listen, we should not be surprised when pagans act and live like pagans. Shouldn't be surprised. That's exactly what's taking place. Again, verse 1 tells us, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. And then verse 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Evildoers do evil. And let me just say, beloved, that we are in a war today in America. We're in a war. It is not one of flesh and blood. It is not one of bullets and guns. We are in an ideological war. It's a different kind of war. This is very much different from 9/11. We knew on 9/11 who our enemy was, and it was from without. But here we're having an ideological war from those within. God's command in light of this battle is do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. We notice the word evildoers refers to a person who is bad or displeasing. Well, that makes sense, but more specifically, this form of the word speaks of a person whose badness causes injury to others. We're living in a world of evildoers, those who commit their evil in order that they may cause injury to others. You see, I believe when we view this in light of our recent election, that it seems very possible that evildoers were working behind the scenes to prevent Trump from winning. Now, was there systemic fraud? Don't know. I believe there very well could be. But what we do know is this, is that there were several states who broke their constitution. They did not follow the constitution on how the election was to be processed. And they changed the Constitution without the votes of the legislature. And they did this in the name of the pandemic. And because of them breaking the Constitution, it certainly opened up the window for there to be massive systemic fraud. My question is, Why wouldn't Joe Biden want an independent audit? Why wouldn't he want there to be an investigation? Because, listen, he knows that 40% or more believe it was a fraudulent election. He knows that he cannot lead a nation like that. And he can't. Evil doers. And again, David warned us in verse 7, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Hey, listen, in spite of the fact that the wrongdoers live under God's wrath, it appears that the wicked prosper. And this principle of the evildoers prospering is obvious in individuals. It seems as if the evildoers are going to win. And they are rejoicing. They're laughing now that they have won. But how does God view their arrogant pride? I love what verse 13 tells us. The Lord laughs at them. For he sees that his day is coming. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord laughs at them. Don't be deceived by taking the short look on this issue. Why? Because the books are not balanced in this life. If we could see these things from God's perspective, we would say that he does all things well. Even though we cannot clearly see them now, by faith we say when we are perplexed that he does all things well. So don't be deceived by how things appear on the surface. We need to be taking not a short look at things, but a long look, and trust the Lord to do what he determines is best. Because if you allow yourself to be deceived in thinking that the evil has won, then you will miss his guidance and you will miss his peace, because the Lord is laughing at them because he knows that their day of judgment is coming. The second thing and final thing we'll be looking at is God's people trust him. In the midst of a society that is evil, we trust him. Again, verse 2 tells us, for they soon shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So he tells us the right response to the evildoers is what? Trust in the Lord. Do good. That is what we ought to do. We do not do evil like evildoers. And he's saying also we're to stop fretting about their evil doing. David said, do not fret. And it's very interesting that fretting is like getting a fire started. It comes from a word that means to burn. And so it pictures us burning in our souls with anger in response to evildoers. And I tell you, that's something that I have had to watch this past week, is my anger these past few days. Now listen, our souls ought to be stirred with a holy wrath against anything that offends God. I mean, this administration that is coming in is going to be the most liberal administration this nation has ever seen. Just in them passing the Equality Act that he has promised to pass in the first 100 days is going to put a strain on our religious liberty. So how do we begin to counteract this fretting? Well, we do this by resting in the Lord. Resting in the Lord. The verb means to be silent, be still. It describes calm surrender to the Lord. You know, people today, it's hard in our busy society, in our noisy society, it's hard for us to even tolerate silence. A lot of times if I'm in the car or my truck driving, I got to have something on. Whether I'm really listening to it or not, I just don't like sometimes the silence. But unless we learn to wait silently before God, we will never experience His peace. And for us to get upset because of the evil schemes of the ungodly, listen, is to doubt the goodness and justice of God. So we are to rest in the Lord. Notice also how we respond to evildoers. We're to patiently wait for God. That's what he said in verse 7. We're to wait patiently for him. Listen, God knows what he's doing. He knows what he is doing. Listen, patiently waiting. We are expecting God to act is generally not a human forte, you could say. But we are to wait patiently, for we trust him. That is our next thing. In verse 3, we're to keep trusting. Verse 3 tells us, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Oh, listen, if we are trusting God, if we are leaning fully and completely on the truth of the Bible, that is what we need to do. But notice that such a full dependence requires that we are doing something. If we only sit silently and do nothing, listen, it is an indication that we have conceded to evil. And I tell you, beloved, a fatalistic attitude is not God's will, nor does it honor him. We are to work. Jesus said we are to work while it is still day. For the night comes when no man can work. Listen, now is a time for the church to get busy working for the Lord. And if not now, when? We must work. Christians, as believers in Christ Jesus, we do not need to fear. We need to start building. We need to start building. We need to build, listen, honestly, a way of communication. We may not have communication as we have known it in the past. We need to build our own economies, our own economics. Listen, we have given over these things to the godless people who hate God. We rely upon them and they know it. They know it. And they have us by the throat. We need to be praying that either God saves these men or that God would raise up some Christians who would have enough ability to create its own economy, economic system. Listen, we are resting because we trust God to deal with the wicked again, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Notice also we are to delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Again, this is an imperative. This is a command. It reminds us that we are responsible to be delighted with God. And to delight yourself in the Lord means for us to stay focused on God. And that's very hard to do in a society where everything seems to be unraveling before us. But that is the command, to stay focused on God. When we try to delight ourselves with the things of this world, listen, there will not be any delight. There will be distraught. We will be distraught. Rather, we must be delighted with God. We must be delighted in His Word, His promises. Why? Because they are eternal. They do not change. So God's response to us, when we delight ourselves in Him, is that He will reward our desires. And God promised that He will give you the desires of your heart. And generally, we get this backward by delighting in passing things and then accusing God of not giving us our desires. But delight your heart in God, and He will make you godly, which is the desire of your heart. Finally, we must respond to evildoers by committing our way to the Lord. Committing our way to the Lord. Verses 5 tells us, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Once we have God's guidance, we step out in faith and commit the whole situation to Him and trust Him to bring it to pass. The word translated commit literally means to roll over on or deposit with. You probably have heard the phrase, where the Lord guides, He provides. That's not a direct quote from Scripture, but I believe it is a scriptural quote. That is, we refuse to second-guess decisions that He guided us to make, and we roll over on them the carrying out of the directions that He gave us. And so once you have discovered the truths of this psalm, making the decisions will be the easy part. The hard part is then rolling over on Him, trusting Him to bring everything to pass in His timing, in His way. So in this evil world, where it seems as if we have a long road to hoe, we need to look to Christ. You need to rest in the Lord. You need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't put your rest in man. You don't put your hopes in the government. You need to put your hope in Christ. Your future is in Him. You need to put your faith and hope upon the One who is coming to judge the living and the dead. Through Him, God has given you an inheritance in heaven that will not perish, that will not pass away. Here's one thing we can be thankful for, is that even though this world is doing what the world does, here's a promise that is true, and that is the kingdom of God is still advancing. God is still going to save souls in 2021. God is still going to build His church. And I wonder today, have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Him, who lived a sinless life? And He died a vicarious death. He died the death that you should have died. Have you put your faith and trust in Him? Have you repented of your sin Have you been saved? Oh, I pray that if you have not, I pray that you would trust Christ today. Come to Him and believe the gospel and be saved. And Christian friend, oh, listen, may you be more committed than ever to trust the Lord. May you be more committed than ever to rest in Him in these difficult days, knowing that God will have the ultimate say. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Lord, that we can call You our Father. And as our Father, You care for us. You love us. And Lord, these things that we're going through did not take You by surprise. Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to trust Your plan. And Lord, help us as we are trusting that we're working. We're working to build the kingdom for Your glory. We're working to spread the gospel, inviting others to church. Lord, help us not to have the spirit of fear in these days, but the spirit of power and of a sound mind. Father, I pray that those that have never been saved, Father, I pray that You would draw them to Your Son, Jesus. May You grant them salvation. Father, we love You. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand before we sing a song of dismissal. I want to just tell you again how much I love you. And if you have any questions as to what I have said today, that I am free and love to speak to you at the end of the service. And we pray the Lord's blessings upon you throughout the remainder of this week, and that we will be meeting again Wednesday night for our adult Bible study and prayer meeting, and then also the children classes and youth classes will be downstairs. But may the Lord bless you.
All right, as we dismiss, let's sing one verse of Blessed Be the Name.